Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast bonus holiday episodes, y'all. Hi, it's Jamie, your favorite queer host, who always aims to uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate LGBTQIA+ families and all of our beautiful identities. And I'm here on Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hey, coming at you this week. I told y'all last week that I wasn't going to be releasing any new episodes. So instead of our regularly scheduled content, I'm bringing you some bonus stuff, y'all. And these bonus episodes are actually of podcasts that I admire and love and that I've guested on. And so we're going to kick it off right away with the episode I was on of the Who's Your Daddy podcast with my good friends, Michael and Matt. On their podcast, they are basically documenting their journey through making their family through the surrogacy process. And it's a really fun podcast. So if you haven't listened, you should check it out after you listen to this here episode. And I went on and talked about kind of my journey of making our family and the unexplained infertility I experienced and all the other shenanigans that I experienced. And we laughed a lot. It's a really great episode. We get deep into some things. And I also like told something about my donor that I had just found out that you might find interesting. So tune in. It's really fun. I hope you enjoy this episode. But before I ask Helen to roll the tape or the episode, so to speak, I have a story I want to share with y'all. And it's something that is just like really unique to our queer families. And I want y'all to hear it because it's something that I will never, ever forget. So my daughter and I, my 10-year-old, we are watching this show right now called Young Sheldon. Many of you probably know of it. It's like age appropriate for her and I find it fun too. So it's a good thing for us to bond with. And like we were watching an episode recently and at one point the mom in the show like gets accidentally pregnant. And the whole episode is about like, what are they going to do? How are they going to manage it? And you know, all this stuff. And at one point Rose turns to me and she goes, oh, what? She's pregnant? How? By who? And I look at her and I'm like, by the dad in the show? And then it dawned on me. Oh, right. They have sperm in their house. She didn't have to go buy the sperm because she's like, how do you accidentally get pregnant? That doesn't happen, you know, because it doesn't happen for our families. And that's the story we tell her all the time about how she was created. And then I saw the wheels like turning in her head. And then I see the realization of how they did it and how the baby was made. And then she was like, oh, ooh, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't want to talk about this because she knows what that is. but it was just such a funny moment and just something that is like so unique to our families and our communication and how much our children do actually know. And it was just a fun moment. And we both laugh about it now because not all families have to buy the sperm or the eggs. Oh, I love it. What a great holiday story, huh? I hope you're all making memories this holiday season. I am taking a much needed break. When my previous co-host Robin left the show, I kind of hit the ground running and didn't stop, and I haven't stopped, and mama needs a break. So for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be drinking some cocktails, and I'm going to be releasing these different episodes. I hope you enjoy them. Here is that time I was a guest on the Who's Your Daddy podcast. I hope you enjoy. And then go over there and give them a follow and a like and all the things. All the things I ask you to do for me. I love y'all. I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful holiday week. I'll see you soon.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Have I mentioned to y'all that I have a promo code for any of y'all who are in the market for some sperm, and I imagine many of you might be if you listen to this podcast or follow my show. And guess what? It's from the same cryobank that I made my babies at, y'all. California Cryobank. It's a full-service sperm bank, and for over 45 years, California Cryobank has proudly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQ plus clients create the family of their dreams, including yours truly right here. I love them. I absolutely do. They are the number one sperm bank in the US, and they ship to over 40 countries, and they have one of the largest and most diverse selection of sperm donors out there, which is important. Let's be real. Now, to learn more, you're going to visit cryobank.com and you're going to use promo code QUEERFAM, that's QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 donor subscription to their donor catalog. Oh my God, go shop, go make those babies. I can't wait to hear about the babies you make. Go make those babies. Use that code, QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM.
Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love. Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
This is going smashingly. And I was like, excuse me? Oh. Excuse me? No. That's not the plan. The plan is I'm carrying.
To be honest, I was not coy about it. I was very mad. I made a YouTube video. It blew the whole thing up.
I write 95% of Matthew's emails.
Welcome to another episode of Who's Your Daddy podcast, where it's our job to educate and explore all of the non-traditional paths to parenthood, including surrogacy, adoption, and foster to adopt. We are your hosts and husbands, Michael and Matt, and today we are talking to Jamie Kelton from the Queer Family podcast. We're so excited to hear Jamie's story on IVF, IUI, and her journey with infertility and how she created her family. Hello, Jamie.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, fellas. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. This is like, I feel like we just spend all our time together now. We're like,
we do.
I know,
we
right?
hang out.
Podcast it's like a weekly BFFs. Hangout.
We do all the things. Yes.
This is great. Yes. Jamie and I have been talking for a few weeks now, and we've had some calls. We did podcast recording last week for the Queer Family podcast, and this week we're going to hear your story on our podcast. But this is all going out at the same time.
And before that, Jamie didn't probably know that I was listening to her podcast before we even started talking, because she has like probably the longest running, most like comprehensive podcast in the space.
I'm like the grandma of Queer Family podcasts.
You're a huge inspiration for us. You're Mima.
I'm not even that old. Actually, I am.
No, you're not.
I think I could be your mother's. I think I could be both.
No, you 100% could not. There's absolutely no way.
I don't know.
There's absolutely
no way. I know it's not okay to ask age, but
I can tell you. You want to know?
Sure. No. I don't think there should be shame around age.
I have no shame.
Yeah, that's true.
I use a lot of creams.
Yeah, the skin's flawless. I'm like, I need to learn.
But no, I'm 45. I could be your mother.
You could not. I'm 34.
Oh, I'm 31.
Okay. I could be your mother, Matt, if I had you. Like,
that would be.
I have a sister who's older than you.
Oh, yes. Oh. I have siblings that are both older than you as well. Mm-hmm.
So we're basically the same age as what we're
Literally.
All
We're siblings.
Siblings. Siblings.
Well, before we get into it and
Matthew's
get into your story.
Matthew's like, and let's start.
Back to the agenda, people.
Both Jamie
the
and I are like,
point is, I've been
coffee.
Around a while. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
All right, everybody, there is a cliffhanger that you...
Oh, wow, he's teasing early.
I am teasing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Michael and I have some pretty big news that is a big change in our surrogacy process and our journey. Jamie, you know what it is already.
She does.
And
we dropped it.
In order to hear all of the juicy details of that, after this episode, head over to the Queer Family podcast and listen to Jamie's episode.
With us.
An interview. And we are going to go into a lot of detail about that.
Yeah. It's very exciting. It's a great episode. It's a great interview. And y'all have to go listen to Michael and Matt's story over there because it's good. And we're releasing these on the same exact day. So you have hours of podcast listening right here for your listening and viewing pleasure. All of
cancel
you at home.
All of your plans.
We have a marathon.
You have nothing else that's more important to do today. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and then while you're at it, rate, review, subscribe. You know,
yes. Seriously. Those rating and reviews are big deals, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and send the episodes to your conservative friends and family members.
Please, please, please. Especially this one. Do you see my shirt?
I love it. That's a cool shirt.
Can you read what it says?
Drag. I can't see what it says underneath it.
Underneath it says,
teaching kids to love themselves.
Teaching kids to love themselves.
That's where I bought this.
Where?
Iowa.
Iowa. Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
At a state, Iowa.
We're big fans.
Go ahead.
So another thing on the agenda, next mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, no, you're doing great. I am clearly not focused.
I also interrupt all the time. I'm sorry. I'm gonna let you do your thing. I'm going to keep my mouth okay.
No, you're perfect. You're doing great. I'm doing a little ruler slap on Michael's wrists right now. Anyway. Jamie, we're familiar with your podcast, and the way that you start your podcasts and interviews with guests is you have them give an elevator pitch of who they are and what they're all about. Mm-hmm. And it's a 30-second elevator pitch. So we're flipping the table back onto you. I'm sorry for that. But we want to hear your elevator pitch. Who is Jamie?
God.
Who is Jamie? So you have 30 seconds. I don't even think we'll hold up the clock. You know, I'm just going to give
I'm going to do a timer right
I feel
now.
Like you've done this. You've done this so many times.
I should have known you were going to do this to me because I even said this is what people do to me and I'm never prepared. I'm not prepared at all. Just everybody, I'm not prepared. So we'll see how this goes.
Right. I want to do like the little Jeopardy tune in the background just to like make it more suspenseful or something.
We should do that. That's actually a good idea.
Timer starts now.
Hi. Okay. I'm Jamie Kelton. I am an actress, an author, a podcaster, and a voiceover actress. And my most recent thing that's been happening for the past 5 years is the Queer Family Podcast, the show that aims to uplift, highlight, celebrate, and normalize LGBTQ families to let the whole world know that despite the fact that we work really, 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 really hard to make our very intentional families, we're just like every other parent out there trying to get our kids to put their shoes on when they're already 30 minutes late for school and they still haven't gone out the door. Boom.
That's not supposed to cut her off.
I'm sorry. I don't know how
you
to signal
nervous.
Like that word.
You got so nervous.
It's my first time doing the timer. I'm sorry. I was like, how do I signal that it's time?
Because I went over. I need to do better at this.
Only by
this
8 seconds.
This should be, like,
perfect.
I should have this figured out and down perfectly. Oh, well.
I think we went over by 10 seconds on yours, so.
No, I did hours because you were too nervous.
Oh, I was.
I, like, fumbled through it, and I was just, like, trying to talk so fast, and I had no idea what to say.
I didn't breathe.
Shaking in my boots.
Breathe.
I don't think
I
did
whole
either.
Thing. I can't believe I put my guests through this.
We'll all take one collective
wow,
breath
that's
together
quite cool.
before we yes breathe in.
Okay, that was too long.
That was a long breath.
Wow, very ASMR.
I needed that. I really needed that.
Okay, we're good.
Well, Michael, should we start with the stories?
We should, and we should just, you know, I think throw it to Jamie and have her introduce. I mean, she'd introduce herself obviously already, but wait, we have to get into her fertility journey, her family building process, and that is the next thing. So,
All right. So I am a lesbian. I'm married to my wife, Anne. We have been married 10 years. I always forget. And congrats. We've been together 15.
Amazing.
We've been married 11 years. Sorry. Yes. Married 11
it's okay.
together.
It's okay. We got it.
15. we got married back in 2008. No, we met in 2008. this is going smashingly.
it's totally fine. Somebody asked me the other day how long I've been with Michael, and I said 7 years. I was like, wait, no, 8. And
I know.
Really, we've been together for 9 years. So
yeah,
I just
see.
But I was too embarrassed to even correct myself. So I just went with it. And now they think that we've been married or that we've been together for only 8 years.
I don't know. So I feel like the longer we go, the more I miss the dates. And then when we get up to like the 25 to 30, then I'm going to be like, it's 30. It's 31. You know what I mean? I feel like once you really get up there, then you really start counting. But I'm like,
I doubt it. I'm not
early.
Going to be.
I don't know.
If I've lost track this far, there's no hope for me at 20
You're
years, 30
right.
years.
I'm probably the same. You're probably right. Okay. So Right. So we were married in 2012. The same month, actually, it became legal to get gay married in New York, which is where I live. Wow. I live in New York City. And we had already had talks about kids. Like, this is kind of what you do when you're queer. Like, you start thinking, when you realize you're queer, you start thinking, okay, well, can I swear?
Oh, you can swear all
Absolutely.
You want.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, shit. I know I'm queer. So now I have to figure out, how am I going to do this? How am I going to have this baby? Like, you start thinking about that way yeah. early, right? When you realize, all right, well, I'm going to need some help here. Anyway, so we started talking about baby making really early on. And the story was always basically what we agreed on was I would be the one to carry because I'm younger. She's 7 years older than me. Okay. And I met her when I was 30. So, you know, that we always thought, okay, I'll be the one to carry. We can't afford reciprocal IVF, so we're mm-hmm. most likely going to use my eggs. And we weren't sure about an anonymous sperm donor at a bank or if we wanted to use a known donor. That was kind of an up in the air. Then we got married. My career, I used to be in musical theater, so I used to travel a lot. I used to tour. So my career was kind of going and going and going. So after we got married, all of a sudden, my wife, when we were like at a bar having beers, like any self-respecting lesbians do, she turned to me and she was like, you know what? I think I want to carry. And I was like, excuse me? Oh. Excuse me? No, 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 no. That's not the plan. The plan is I'm carrying. this is like she threw me for a whole crazy loop. I was not expecting it. And that's something that can happen in our families, right? Yeah. So then we had to really go back to the drawing board because I really, really, really wanted to experience pregnancy. I really also wanted to have a child that had a genetic tie to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Which sounds selfish. And some folks don't care about the genetic tie. At that moment in time, like in that place where I was in, it really mattered to me for some reason. Now I realize how little it matters at all because I have two kids. But then I felt like it meant the world to me. So, okay, fine. If you're going to carry, then we're having two, right? And that was never really the plan. We were going to like at least just do one, right? But now we're having two off the, like from the get-go, we're having two for sure.
Wait, I have a question. Did you always want to have kids when you were, even when you started your relationship with Anne, you're like, yeah, this was from the get-go, you're like, yes, we're having kids.
Yes, I did. I always knew I wanted to experience pregnancy. I always knew I wanted to have a child of my own. And even when I realized I was queer, I knew there were ways to make it happen. You know, I had friends.
Right.
Who had done it. Okay. So I had some representation of it in my life. So it was never an out option for me. My wife, on the other hand, didn't think it was an option for her. When I first met her, she was like, no, I don't think that's really in the cards for me because I'm a lesbian, right? And then as we talked it through, we realized, oh, this is something we can do. And we had friends who were literally doing it in real time, like when we were trying to figure it out. So
can you also just do a little 30-second elevator pitch on reciprocal IVF and what that term means? Because I'm not sure we've you know, it's something that maybe
I'm not
people
sure
already know, but I'm not sure
yet.
If we've like specifically talked about it. Because it's unique to lesbian couples, correct?
It is. Two bodies that contain uteri. Uteruses? Uteri?
Yes.
So basically you take the eggs from one person, one uterus, and then you you transfer them into the uterus of the other person. So
after they're fertilized,
so you make an embryo,
you
right?
Make
so
the
you
embryos,
do,
and
yeah. So you basically do IVF like y'all do for surrogacy, right? You
correct.
Get the eggs,
you
fertilize them, but instead of putting them, it's kind of the same as surrogacy in a way, but we're not surrogates, right? It's
one of you is an egg donor.
Yeah.
One of you ends up being the gestational carrier,
right?
Essentially,
and that's always an issue with folks who do RIVF, reciprocal IVF, because like we're going in because we're two bodies with uteruses, but we want to create our baby together. But they treat us some of these clinics because all the forms and all the things are not really inclusive of LGBTQ folks.
Yeah,
the forms we have to fill out and the folks there treat us as if we are going through a surrogacy And so you have to go through the therapy. You know, there's the therapy.
Like a psyche eval?
Things like that. So I've talked to a lot of, I didn't do reciprocal IVF, but I've talked to a lot of couples who felt really like bent out of shape over the way it was handled at clinics. There still needs to be a lot of work done in these spaces to be truly inclusive of our community.
Bizarre to think about.
Because, like I just interviewed a couple that the woman who's the eggs were going into, into had to sign a form saying she was a surrogate. And she was like, I'm not signing that. I'm not a surrogate. That's my baby. Right? So it's just very, like little nuanced things that really can start to piss you off, you know?
A future mom, somebody who's going to be carrying her baby, and now she's having to sign a form to like claim herself as a surrogate, which would be like saying, this isn't my child, I'm just carrying it, which is kind of messed up if you think about
it. Not the case, yeah.
Same thing when we were getting married, well, similar thing, or similar feeling, when we were looking at ordering our wedding invites.
Oh.
Do you remember?
Oh,
we were looking up on the websites, and this was in 2018, so it was a few years after marriage equality was passed nationally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, there's still a lot of catching up to do, and of course we're still there, catching up. So when we're looking at these wedding invites, there was only a spot for, like, the bride
and groom.
Bride's name, groom's name. And that's, like, the form that you have to fill out in order to order your wedding invites.
Yeah.
And there was no way around it. And I remember tweeting about it. I got so upset. I was, I just blasted them online. And I'm like, why is it like this? This is ridiculous. And I got a response from the company. Should I say the company? Am I allowed
to? I mean, I don't think.
It actually turned into a good thing.
Well. It turned into a good thing.
They responded well. So it's
That's the beauty of having a platform. There you go, right there.
It was super interesting. Yeah.
It was, because I was a dick at first, to be honest. I was not coy about it. I was very mad. I made a YouTube video. It blew the whole thing up.
I write 95% of Matthew's emails when they involve anything that is somewhat, you know.
You soften it a bit.
I soften it
a bit.
Yeah,
I get it.
If it's conflict, I you know.
I don't know how to address conflict in a nice way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just more like, you bitch!
Yeah. I'm the softener of the emails in my relationship. I feel you, Michael.
Yes. So I called Shutterfly out and I was like, why is it like this? And they're like, complicated computer things. We don't know. It's a coding issue. I'm like, y'all got to change that right now.
Also, Shutterfly is a Canadian company and Canada legalized gay marriage in 2013.
Right.
And this is 2003?
Wait. It was 2003 or 2005, I believe.
Oh, maybe it's
one
earlier.
Those, but
somebody can fact check me. Maybe I can fact check myself.
Yeah.
Anyways, the, you know, it's like, it's been legal for a long time in Canada. How has this not been brought
it's
up
crazy.
Before?
But they changed it.
But they changed it like immediately. Like
it was
within
quick.
Months.
Good job.
It was amazing.
Good
People
job,
were
fellas.
Retweeting. There was all that stuff going on. People were angry.
But wait, there's more. Uh-oh. So then we got frustrated and we were like, well, we're going to go and we're going to go over to Minted because they hadn't changed it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And in Minted, it was like, person one, person two, or something. It was like, you know.
Yeah, it was more
whatever
inclusive.
But wait, we get the box of save the dates in the mail. Save the dates are us, two obvious
men,
males.
A picture of two men on the front, and right? It says Michael and Matt.
We pop it open and it says, a gift for the bride.
Oh my God.
And it's like $50 to like for like the invites or whatever.
Like
to like David's like, bridal.
Yeah. And if you know Minted, there's always like a card that's like literally signed by somebody who like packaged your box.
Packages
it's like
and
packaged
reviews.
By Laura and she like signs her name or whatever.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, come on. Like really?
Did you not look at the picture? I mean, it's
so anyways.
Really
Anyways.
So many things.
I tweeted that and then Minted contacted me and then they're like, we're doing an internal review and we're fixing this and we're not going to have oversights over misgendering people.
Good job. look at what you did.
Same-sex marriage became legal in Ontario in 2003.
Wow.
And it was already legalized in 8 of the 10 provinces and 1 of 3 territories. On July 20th, 2005, Canada became the first country outside Europe and the 4th country in the world to legalize same-sex marriage. So you're right, 2005. and this is 2017.
All right, like Canada, you can't beforehand. Just talk the talk. You got to walk the walk.
So it was like 12 years where nobody brought this up, I guess, in a significant way.
Anyway, that was a tangent.
It was a tangent.
But these are the things. These are the things, and these are why, like, your platform is so important. I say this way too much, but it's true. Like, this is why podcasts like ours are so important, right? Because there's no knowledge out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah.
And change doesn't happen without discussion, discourse,
representation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Visibility. Right. So, yeah. So,
reciprocal IVF. You're treated as a surrogate.
So we knew we couldn't do reciprocal IVF, but in the end, like, just to give you a little precursor, we ended up spending so much more money to make our family anyway, because of all the issues that came up. But, and IVF, it's basically reciprocal IVF is just doing an IVF cycle, except you switch bodies in the middle, right? So it's expensive. It starts at least $15,000, and then it goes up from there. And then the other wrench it through in our the original plan was not only now are we having two kids because she wants to carry two, we have to start right now because she was 37 at the time. So that means she's going first and we're starting right now. Right. And that was I was like, I have at least like five more years to get to keep continuing with my career. It was, it was popping. I was like living the life, but we had to change course. So we, you know, go into it, basically did what our friends before us did. We found a clinic that our friend had used. I call it LGBTQ drafting. Like, you just do what your friends did before. You know,
I feel that.
Like, a bunch of our friends had, our lesbian friends had used a sperm bank, anonymous sperm. And we were like, all right, we're going to do that. We're going to do the anonymous sperm route. So we went shopping on the cryobank website, which gets into crazy town because then it becomes like the search for Superman because you start ruling people out because crazy, weird stuff. Like, we overruled someone because he had acne as a teenager, like silly stuff. Like, who doesn't have acne as a teenager? But I was no, we can't choose this guy. Look at acne.
Yeah,
so right. So ridiculous. So
meanwhile,
dumb.
It's like, I'm just gonna ignore all of the things that I carry along with me.
Right, exactly. Like, if I was using her if it was my genetics, we got like flipped. Depression, suicidal, like alcoholism. Like, that's fine. We're cool with that. But this guy, no acne. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whatever. You get crazy. And then we toyed with the idea of using a known donor for a second. We even had a really close friend in mind. We came so close to asking him, and we decided not to in the end because we didn't want to complicate it even more, because we knew if we did that, then you need to get a lawyer. You need to draft up all the papers. You need to make sure that you are 100% protected with this extra person in the family. And then he comes with a whole family who might want to be involved too. And like, how do we feel about that? Like, there's a lot of extra things to think through, right? When you're adding a known donor into the picture. And a lot of people do it and it's beautiful and it ends up wonderfully. And oh my God, I'm like jealous of the way some of these beautiful, huge families turn out. But I have also interviewed folks who it went south real bad. So,
I think we struggled with that quite a bit too. And the thoughts of like wanting to so badly involve someone in the family in the process. And then at the same time, it comes with all of these big questions.
Right. And if you have the capacity to figure out all those questions and you do it, it can be beautiful. It can be so amazing. Like,
right.
Some of the, like I said, like, I've spoken to so many people who have these amazing, amazing family setups. It just wasn't for us. So we found our sperm. We bought a bunch of vials because you definitely want to buy, you know, more than just one because you don't know how long it's going to take.
And how much does a vial? I don't even know. How much does like a vial of sperm cost?
Back then, a vial, and we chose an open donor. open ID donor. So that means when the child turns 18, they can try to contact him. There's closed donors where they're like, I want no contact. Like, I just gave my sperm. That's it. And there's open donors. So we chose an open one. But you pay more for that, of course.
Sure. Because why wouldn't they charge you for something like that? Yeah.
And back then, and this was in like 2012, vial was going for like $750.
One vial?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So how many do they recommend you buy?
It all depends. Like, I recommend now, after listening to so many stories and knowing my own personal story, I recommend starting with like six at least, because you can always sell them back.
I'm just thinking of Harry Potter, and he's like, "Well, take the lot."
Oh, that makes sense. You can sell them back. It's not like you're going to a counter and being like, "Yes, I'll have seven, please," and then they'll hand over seven vials. They stay in the cryo freeze chamber.
Depending. So if you like, it's so much. Like, you have to pay for shipping, right? So you're like, you have to pay for shipping, and then you have to pay for storage wherever it's going to be stored, right? So you can keep it all in storage at the cryobank, but you pay for that. And then you can ship one vial at a time per cycle to your bank, to your clinic or wherever it's going. But you're paying for shipping and the storage for that, right? Or you could ship it all at once, but then you have to pay to store it at your clinic.
It seems like it would just make more sense for somebody to volunteer and be like, yes, I'll be a sperm donor.
I volunteer as tribute.
And then when you want it, you just fly them to the clinic.
Right. Like,
and then I know, that just sounds expensive too.
But the sperm has to go through 6 months of quarantine and testing at these banks.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. Yeah, there's that. And some folks are really don't like that. Like,
that is news to me. Yeah.
Which is like,
I didn't know that.
As soon as we did our thing, they're like, okay, we can use this.
Right. Well, because it's
No, they did genetic testing first.
They genetically tested ours, yeah.
But yeah, that's different. That's because you're doing IVF, like the PGA testing and stuff like that.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. That was optional for us, like once the embryos are done. They do all this, like, they need to make sure there's no STDs in the sperm. And like, they do all kinds of, it's probably because it's federally regulated. So they have to do all this testing before they release it to sell it. It's like a business thing. Which is why a lot of people would rather use a known donor, because you don't have to do all that crazy rigmarole. Like, if you know the person, then you take their sperm and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, my wife ended up getting pregnant after five tries. We had to switch to IVF. So IUI was paid for by our insurance, miraculously, which is amazing because a lot of insurances don't cover stuff. A lot of insurances, you have to prove you've been trying for 6 months, and like, yeah, we've been trying. We're just not making any babies from our trying. Right. You know what I mean? But like,
so for Anne, it was you said five tries.
Yeah. Or so we tries? Did. She did like four IUIs, and then mid cycle, the doctor was like, you know what? Let's switch this up. It's not working. We're running out of sperm. Let's just switch this to IVF because there's a better chance. So we did it, but we didn't realize our insurance didn't pay for IVF. So like the day we go for the retrieval where they take the eggs out, they handed us a bill first. They took us into an office and handed us like a $15,000 bill. We're like, so that went on the credit card. And then we had to take a loan out to pay for that. So like, yeah. Anyway, and that was like the easy part of our journey. But anyway, so she ended up getting pregnant, easy pregnancy, no issues. And then we had our daughter 9 months later. Wonderful, amazing. Beautiful. And then it was my turn. And we wanted them to be like 2 years apart. So we started trying when Rose was like 9 months old, because I was going to get like secretly pregnant and be like, guess what? I'm pregnant.
Incognito about it.
Yeah, I was going to be like super stealth and like, you know, you didn't even know I was trying, but look at us.
It's like hair flip. Turn and pregnant. Yes.
I had a plan, honey. We had the sperm from the same donor. We were going to use the same donor. It was going to be beautiful. We actually started with IVF because actually we only had two vials of his sperm left. That's what it was.
Okay.
Right. So we started with me with IVF because my doctor was like, let's just get you pregnant. Let's just do it.
Right.
I was like, yeah. And I was...
He's like, don't bother with the IUI at this point. Like, you have two vials left in order to keep the same donor. Let's just do IVF and make sure that it's good.
Oh, wow.
We went in for it. We took out another loan against my wife's retirement. Thank God we were privileged enough for my wife to have a retirement to even take out of. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many folks who don't even have that. We were able to do that. We went for the IVF and it didn't work. We were like,
at all? Like, zero embryos.
Are you serious?
No, we, I got, so you know how it all plays out. So from the retrieval, the first time I did this, I think I got 17. I was 35. So I'm considered a geriatric pregnancy. That's literally what they call it.
Oh my God.
Yes. Because at past 35, you're like, you have dusty eggs. Like, it's over for you. So I started with 17. And then that number dwindled down to 10. And then
eggs,
every
10
day,
mature.
10. And then it was like 10 that we can actually fertilize, right? Then every day it was like, oh, we got 8 now. Oh, we have 7. Oh, yes. Oh, we have 5. And then I ended up with 3.
Three fully developed embryos.
Fully developed embryos that all looked good. I'm trying to, because there are so many different cycles now that I am trying to think through. That one, they all looked good for. We put in 2 at first and we were like, oh my God, I don't want twins. We were so scared for twins because we were just sure it was going to work. Yeah. Neither one of them took. Such a waste.
Oh my God.
He put the second one in, didn't work. So then we had,
for context, it's not just putting them in.
Right.
It's like a like whole thing.
Injections, hormones.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Paying for, all of those medications out of pocket, additionally.
Each transfer costs, like, a significant amount of money, doesn't it?
I think now it's, like, at least in our experience, I think every time they go to transfer, it's $5,000 or $6,000 more.
Yeah.
Additional from, like, the already large down payment that you put down on the whole process. So it's kind of like you pay for the whole process. And then it's, like, if you have additional transfers, those are going to be $5,000 or $6,000 a piece.
Casual.
Plus the additional medications and all that.
Right. So I think our initial charge was $12,000 at the clinic just to start us off.
And this was, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay.
No, this was, this was like 7 years ago. Seven or eight years ago.
Right. It's like not, it's like significant. It's not.
Right.
It's
right.
not just, and, oops, it didn't work. It's like.
Right. And we've already spent thousands of dollars on sperm and storage, right?
Yeah.
Then, okay. So then they put the other one in. It doesn't take. So then we're like, we're out of sperm and we're out of money. What are we going to do? So we went to the sperm bank. The bank had retired him. That's what they call it. When enough families have been made by a certain donor, they retire them. However, there was a clause that if a family who already has a child by a donor wants to ask him to come out of retirement, the clinic will ask for you and he will come back in, give you some vials. And you just have to agree to buy all the vials.
It's just this very Tom Brady situation.
Yeah.
It's like, we retired, but then like somebody was like, I have a lot of money for you. And then he like came back and then he like squid
That's
again. And it's just like,
what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they we need the Tom Brady to come back into the sperm bank to give another round.
All right, Tom Brady, you're coming back. We need another ring.
Coming out of retirement.
We were like, come on, Tom. Come here, Tom.
That might have been the straightest reference I've ever made in my life.
I wasn't even sure if I knew who Tom Brady was. And then I was
God, it's the whole thing.
Football
it's a whole thing. He said yes. We were like, now we know he really is a good guy. We picked the right guy. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, it's so funny, the things you think. We've never spoken to this man. But then you have to wait because they have to quarantine the sperm. So then it was a we're in the process. And you know what it's like when you're in the process and having to stop. So now we have to wait 6 months for the sperm. We have to see how much he gets. And then we have to like buy it up, which we didn't. We didn't buy it all up. But the clinic didn't seem to pay attention. We bought a bunch, but we didn't buy it all. Anyway, so waited all that time and then started again. And our same doctor was like, you know what? IVF didn't work. Let's just go to IUI with fertility drugs. So at this point, I've been on fertility drugs. Like, I'm just like a fertility drug body. This is what I am, right? It's
what
like a mess.
What does that do to your, like, I mean, does it mess with just like all of your emotions and
what
just like.
What made me crazy?
Right?
My wife like doesn't feel pain like the rest of us do. My wife is like just a very dry human and like, no, it is what it is. I'm all right. You know what I mean? And like, she's from Queens, so I always do this accent, but she doesn't talk like that at all. But she didn't feel a thing when she was on her fertility drugs. Me, I was like, I don't know, I'm crying. I'm a mess. It was a mess. I was bloated. It was bad.
Do you remember how many days you would have to take the medication injections up until the transfer?
So it's basically like you take, like you start, God, it's been a while, but you start taking them on like day two of your cycle. And then you take them all the way up to your follicles. That's what they call the eggs, are like ripe and ready for the taking, right? And these drugs help to pump up the eggs. So you get extra, extra eggs. That's the whole point of it. So your ovaries are like overstimulated and like full as many eggs as they can get, basically.
Wow. And
you're giving yourself shots like throughout all the way up to until ovulation. So like 15 days.
And it's everyday injections.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then there's pills. Like there's all kinds of stuff. And then there's the thing you have to insert. Like it's a lot. It's a lot. You don't need to know everything. But like.
I'm like, I'm curious. No, tell me.
You have to, like, there's these like suppository things that help with progesterone. It's a thing. It's a thing.
I'm like nursing background. Wow. Yes. Suppository queen here. Ready to go.
Not
those
in
are
the
my
butt.
Favorite things to do in nursing. One of my favorite things.
Suppositories?
Because they're so easy. Yeah. I mean, you just have someone bend over. You take the pill. Put a little lube on your finger. And you're like. Boom, boom,
and then it just goes these up. These ones didn't go in the butt, though. They go in the other.
Oh.
For the, you know, because it's the lady part.
I've never
done
one of those.
I should say,
let me clarify.
The vagina.
Sorry.
Matthew's like, yeah, those are my favorite.
I'm thinking suppository. You just put it right up the anus. Like,
no, these don't go in the butt. Yeah,
different one. Different one, Matthew.
Different holes.
We're trying to get to the uterus.
Yeah. Sorry.
But
that might have been a malpractice.
That was just
situation.
No, that was everything.
Matthew's like, yeah, I put the suppository in. They're like, which, where, which part?
My butt's a little yeasty. I don't know. Oh my God. We're going south. Okay. All right. So then we switch to IUI. We have a bunch of vials, so many vials. We spent so much money on sperm. I can't even tell you. And we're doing IUI after IUI after IUI after I did probably at least 20 IUIs. At least.
Oh my God. That's hard. Do you wait until like a certain point in the cycle every month to do this IUI? So it's kind of like
you
did this for over a year.
It took me almost 3 years. So it was 3 years of trying to get pregnant while I had like a toddler at home and like, to try to end this long ass story that nobody needs to hear the whole thing of. Finally, I always felt like I talk about this because I always say you need to trust your gut, especially in this process when you're trying to create a family. Trust your gut. I always felt slightly off about our fertility doctor. I never felt like he was right for me. He was great for Anne. Wasn't right for me. It wasn't a good fit. So finally, after like, we did another IVF cycle that failed. Finally, after all of that, like 2.5 years worth, 3 years worth of all of this trying, I said, you know what? Because the doctor kept saying, I look at this like a scientist. And if something's not working, you switch the formula. And he kept saying, so he was like, maybe we need to use an egg donor for you. And I was like, that's not the plan. I know I can carry a child. I know. I don't know why it's not. And they had no explanation for it. It was unexplained infertility. They couldn't figure it out because everything was working fine. So, and he kept saying, we changed the formula. How about an egg donor? And I was like, no. And then finally, I was home one night and I was like, switch the formula. I'm getting a new doctor. You're the one that's going. You're going.
Yeah.
Duh.
You see this equation? Well.
Yeah. Duh.
You're going to be the one that changes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we took a break. I got this book called It Starts with the Egg, and it's all about the health of your, basically, your eggs. Mm-hmm. And I started taking like all these supplements that were listed in this book. I got rid of like toxins in my house. Like I went a little crazy. Started acupuncture, fertility acupuncture.
Oh,
I just took things into my own hands. I stopped listening to other people and I just started like figuring it out on my own. I found a different clinic, a much bigger clinic, so it didn't feel so personal because the other one was really small. And like every time I went in there, I felt like such a failure and they would look at me so sad. So I found this place that was like a factory and that felt so much more refreshing for me personally.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right. And some people hate that feeling. Yeah, but I was like, oh my God, nobody knows who I am. This is amazing. Switched it up.
Yeah.
Went to this new place where the nurses do the insemination. Like, I only met the doctor one time. And when I went to her, my file, she printed out my file and it was like a stack of papers. I'm like, you can't see it if you're not watching the video, but it's bigger than my head. And she was like, I have never seen a file like this. This is crazy. And I was like, I know. And so she was like, all right, we're going to get you pregnant. Went in for one IUI. That one didn't work. And then I got pregnant on the second one.
Holy moly.
Just an IUI. Right. Mm-hmm. After all of that.
What do you think they, was there something that they did differently or like that something that you noticed?
I honestly think like, I did start taking these supplements. I don't know if they had anything to do with it. I did start doing acupuncture. I took a break. I took like a mental health break where I was doing all these things to kind of help prepare my body better and possibly get my eggs into better health, even if that – I don't know. I just followed what the book said. And I felt this like wave of relief at this new place. Mm-hmm. And I think that had something to do with it. Like I
mean, there's
a
lot to say about stress hormones and how that can affect, like, you know, getting pregnant, and that's scientific. Yeah. There's it's not magic juju. It's it's real stuff. So
so like it was a real crazy harrowing journey, but in the end, I trusted my gut, and then I ended up getting pregnant.
What did that feel like after only having to do it twice at this like new place?
Surreal. Like I didn't believe
it.
Like I didn't really believe it. It didn't really set in. I don't think it ever really set in until he was like in my arms. And then we did this. You know, I didn't cry. I didn't like make a big to-do about it. My wife was making a big to-do about it when we found out. And I was like, oh, okay. I think I was in shock. Like no way. After all of this, it's finally, you know what I mean? Like, I guess I was just kind of in like survival mode, just go go. I don't know, it was weird. It was surreal.
Miscarriage is something that is like relatively prevalent, even though you know, sometimes we don't talk about it as much. I think it's being talked about a lot more, but I think it's like a quarter, maybe.
Oh yeah, that's
somewhat
third,
a quarter to a third of all pregnancies. Right, so did that ever cross your mind too? Because that is like in the future, like even if or after we have a successful embryo transfer, I'm still holding my breath. You know what I mean?
We didn't tell anyone until, you know, we passed the first trimester. We kept it a secret just in case.
Yeah.
And I do think like I remember thinking if I miscarry, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. Like after all of this, we're so lucky neither one of us had a miscarriage for either pregnancy. So we're lucky. Yeah.
It takes so much strength and determination to carry through
three pregnancies.
Yeah. After all of that.
IUIs.
All of that investment.
It was
and then thousands. But
then, like, and I say this all the time too. Like once the baby's here, you don't it's like this distant memory now.
Yeah.
I know I was in it. I know I was going through it. But I can't get myself back to that state. Do you know? Like it's like
I'm still trying to comprehend that feeling or that thought, because we're not there yet. We don't have, I don't know what it's like to hold my own baby. And so to think about like, you know, cause I've heard that so many times from parents of, once you hold your baby, nothing else matters. Yeah. And like,
you don't have time.
I don't know.
You don't have time to think about anything else.
It's that magic of like, oh my God, I love you so much. And it's also, you have no time. Like, you don't have time for you anymore. Yeah. And this was my second kid, too. So I'm adding a kid to the mix. I had no time to contemplate shit at that point. Like, it is just, now you're, like, mom central, and that's all you do. And you can't think about stuff.
I think I mean, this is not to equate these two experiences, but I sometimes feel that sort of similar thought process of like before you were out, like I think this is not the case for a lot of people or maybe some people, but it's hard for me to put myself back in the mindset of when I was in the closet or like when I was still like quote unquote straight and like what that felt like and like kind of what that experience was. And I think it was like after coming out, it was like this whole
such
new
a
world
vast life change that it's difficult and to now comprehend what life was like before.
And it's like so normal now, and we have so many gay friends, and like we're in this very like queer friendly city, and I don't know, we're like talking about it all the time, you know, right. And
oh my god, just, and then we go out of town sometimes, and then we're like,
and then we're hit with it,
oh, like,
right, ooh, yeah, you forget,
that's
yeah,
what the world looks like, oh, I'm going back straight to the city
culture. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad analogy. That's
it's just yeah, you're in this
you're
world
in
and you kind
world.
Of forget about
yep,
but I don't know, I think it's completely similar. Different with kids, but
I mean nothing
just something in my
to.
Brain
for kids, they're assholes. I'm just gonna lay it on the line. I love them to death, but they're such assholes.
But it'll be my asshole.
Yeah, but they're your assholes. So nobody's allowed to say anything bad about them to
yes.
you. But you can think whatever you want in any exactly. given moment about your little asshole. And I know you guys want to get into the podcast, so I will just segue for you.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
I love
how
that.
Did,
yes.
Was that
ooh, well, because,
magic.
Reading
because
my brain.
These two stories go together. So
okay.
my
let's do it.
Struggle with getting pregnant is the whole reason this podcast came about.
Right.
Because when I was going through it and when I was really having a hard time, I started, you know, you feel lonely. I was.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear from other folks who were going through a very similar experience to my own.
Right.
So I wanted
holy
to
crap,
hear,
I just had an epiphany.
To know you're not alone.
That was right. like literally why we started our podcast.
Exactly. No.
Matthew's
yeah.
had that. I've had that. I've known that for a long time.
I'm like, right, oh my God, that sounds like me.
No, yeah. It's like, it's the same, right? Because there's nothing out there. So, right. I'm doing this 7 years ago and there was nothing. And I had just discovered podcasts 7 years ago.
Sure.
And I was like, well, surely somebody has done a podcast about lesbians creating babies. There's a podcast about everything, right? Nope. Wasn't.
Nope.
There wasn't. And I found a bunch of fertility podcasts, but they were all straight. They were all heteronormative. And so many times they would bring in like the perspective of the husband and how upset he is at even having to go to a fertility clinic to get help. And like, I don't give a fuck how upset your goddamn husband was. I don't care. Like, we're going through this because we know we're already going to need help. So it's a totally different experience than you. And I don't want to hear about your husband whining. I'm sorry. I don't care. Right? So like, and then they would like inevitably turn it to like Jesus Christ and their faith in Jesus. It was always turning to Jesus. And
using
you
science,
know,
but trusting like, in Jesus.
Right. Like,
cool.
If you put your faith in Jesus, like really hold on to your faith, it will happen for you. I don't want to hear that either. No shame.
On a
no
fertility
shade.
Podcast.
Yes. And no shade to the folks that really resonates with, but that does not resonate with me. So I was like, stop talking about Jesus. Stop talking about your husbands. This is not. And I would find like one lesbian story in the midst of 20 episodes, you know?
That's just interesting.
And then it was always told from like the straight point of view. And I was like, why is there nothing out there for
just
us? Like this
applicable.
Is
applicable. It's not applicable.
Crazy.
Yeah.
There were no books. There were no, you know, like you had to like search through straight books to find the one queer story in them, you know? So I was like, well, somebody needs to create this podcast. And I kept thinking that while I was going through the infertility. After I got pregnant, when I was still pregnant, the thought just kept like, well, somebody needs to create that. Somebody needs to create that show. And then finally, I was like 7 months pregnant or 6 months pregnant. And I thought, oh, shit, I have to create it. Oops. Like, okay, well, shit. Well, how am I going to do that? I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make a podcast. I barely even know what a podcast is. So I went to, like, the one friend I knew who was also an actress. And by friend, I mean, like, acquaintance. Like, I would see her once a year at the Pride family picnic. She's a gay mom. And she was, like, in the group of friends, but not, like, one of the close ones in the group.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'd see her, like, at Pride every year with her kids. And I knew she was an actress. I knew she had some experience with podcasts. She worked at Spotify. So at the Pride family picnic one year, I was like, hey – I have this idea for a podcast. You want to do it with me? And all of our lesbian mom friends were there when I asked. And she was like, that sounds like a good idea. And all the lesbian mom friends were like, hell yes, that's a great idea. And we'll be on it. So we were like, all right, we already have our first season.
Like literally,
which is all our friends, right? And so we started the show. But The show was, we originally called it If These Ovaries Could Talk, mm-hmm. Which is a play. I know y'all don't know the movie because I'm older than you, but there was this like made for TV movie in the 90s called If These Walls Could Talk. We were like, oh my God, if these ovaries could talk. It's like a play on gay things, right? So we did that because we were gay moms, cisgendered lesbian moms, and all of our friends who we knew we were coming on for the first season, we were like, all right, well, we're telling the lesbian stories, right?
Totally.
So we started the show. I just thought we were just going to have a season and be done with it, like a cute little passion project. But it took off because I wasn't the only one feeling alone. People started writing in. People started saying, oh my God, I want to tell my story. And then we started hearing from not just lesbians, trans folks, gay guys like yourselves, like non-binary. Like we just started hearing from all the community. And then we started telling all the stories, right? Season after season goes by, and we were 9 seasons in, and then my co-host Robin decided she had to step away because we never really made money doing it. Like,
I think that's maybe a misconception of podcasts, right? People are like, oh, everybody has a podcast, it must be like so lucrative. It's like, no, they're like kind of just passion projects.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, still hoping it's going to get there, right? Yeah. But it's still, I'm still working my butt off for very little, you know?
Yep.
Right. And she had to like do what was right for her family and step down. So she did. Mm. She had to go. It was very hard. It was very terrible. It was a hard breakup. And
that sucks.
And then, but then like I saw the opportunity in that because I had been hearing from like mainly like my trans friends and like, the trans community that I would interview, that the name of the show was off-putting.
Mm.
Because especially like with the trans experience, you don't want to talk about body parts. You don't want to talk about your ovaries if you have them or if you don't have them. You know what I mean? Like we like to take it off the body. And so it was very off-putting for a huge portion of our community. So I rebranded and I made it the Queer Family Podcast to include and encompass everyone. And it's been my mission since then. Now we're in season 13 to like make sure I'm doing my best to represent everyone in the L's, the G's, the B's, the T's, the Q's, the I's, the A's. Yeah.
I see it as a glow up. It's a glow up.
You didn't know that it was going to turn into that.
I love that. You, that's like the evolution of it.
You were taking your experience and like, you're like, I know how to tell my experience. It wasn't like intended to be exclusional. I think it was like, I can talk about what I know about and I don't, you know. So
but then it grew, became more inclusive. And then it was like, now it's time for a rebrand.
And it happened. And like, we were two white cisgender lesbians putting on a show.
Right.
And now it's like, and then I brought in a different guest co-host for one season. It didn't end up working out, but just to bring different perspective to the hosting table. Mm-hmm. E was black.
Sometimes I think about doing that with ours too.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta be careful. Uh-oh.
Oh, he says, looking at the person who conceptualized this podcast.
Don't get in that argument. I went down that road a couple times.
We're about to have a breakup here at the Who's Your Daddy podcast in season 1.
I have been through 2 host breakups. I do not recommend it. It is very hard.
Especially if you're married to them. Right. And trying to have a baby.
Trying to have a baby with them.
Let's just get through that. No. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, yeah. And then cut to like 7 months ago when I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of stuff out there that people don't know.
Yep.
And the only long form that I could see myself doing and like using as some sort of educational medium is podcasting. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, who's doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Just Jamie. Like still, you know,
it was you. And because you bring a totally different perspective to this situation, right? You're 2 gay guys. You know what I mean? So you bring that perspective to the hosting table. And I think that there's room for all of us.
Oh, for sure.
To just, because there's so many stories. And as you have probably learned, no 2 stories when it comes to queer family building are alike. Not a single one. Even when you go the same exact path, they're so different.
I mean, here's a call out. Literally, if you're listening to this podcast episode, like,
and you haven't been on it yet,
send an email to Jamie. Send an email to us. Like, we want, send the same email to both of us. And we want to hear your stories because honestly, like, that is representation, hearing a bit of your story and your path to parenthood or whatever it is that you're struggling with or trying to figure out in the LGBTQ plus world. It's like, yeah, we want to hear that.
When we've learned so much and we've, like, we're not even halfway through our season.
Right.
Just talking to people, interviewing people, hearing their stories. Like, and it's informing us as we're going through, like, the beginning of our journey. It's been, like, incredibly helpful for us and educational for us. And just to, like, sit here, talk about it, hear complications, like, things that you could mentally prepare for, costs you need to mentally prepare for, emotions you need to, mentally prepare for, all the things. So,
yeah.
You started this podcast, you've done the whole rebrand, here you are with your family, but I think there was something else that nobody knows about that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and I can talk about this because my family knows, my kids know, like, that's the main thing, like, when it comes to this stuff. So it has to do with our donor. So as I mentioned, it's crazy. Our families, like, we really, like, there's so many things. Oh my God. So I mentioned that we got an open ID donor, meaning he is open to being contacted when the kids turn 18. And I want to say, I never really thought much about the donor at all. I was not ever, I grew up with my dad.
Except his acne.
Right. Except his acne. Like, I thought about, like, what I wanted them to have. Yeah. Right. But, like, in regards to, like, the relationship or the thoughts that the kids would have about the donor, I didn't give it enough thought. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've learned a lot since then. And I think it's because of my own upbringing. I grew up with my dad. I just was never, like, particularly close with my dad. Like, my mom was everything to me. And so I guess in my brain, I was like, they're going to have two moms. Like, psh, they'll be fine. You know what I mean? Like, never thinking that my kids would miss the fact that they didn't have a dad. That was naive on my part and stupid, right? Because you never know what human is going to come out of you, right? And you never know. Who knows? And I've learned from a lot of donor-conceived people, no matter how open you are and honest about the donor, and we are in queer families, we are so open and honest and upfront, and my children have known their origin story since they were born. We've been telling it to them forever, right? So there's no, like, mystery there, and they're not going to find out later in life something that they didn't know. That's not an issue, right? However, you can't control how your child is going to deal with that. Most kids, studies show that as long as you're open and honest and upfront, most kids are, like, well adjusted about it as they grow, but you can't guarantee that, right? So there's that. I want to put that out there, and I do understand that. And I was naive and I didn't think too much about that. That's not where I'm going to go here. Here's what happened recently. So you can go on the donor sibling registry, which is where you can go and say, we have a child with donor, blah, 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 blah. And then it'll show you whoever has also registered at this site will show you all the other families that have a child or children with that particular donor. So we did that. We found two other families. And a lot of folks, what I learned on the show is a lot of folks will make, like, a private Facebook group for the donors if you want to get to know them, for the donor families, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which a lot of people did. At first, we were like, no way. And then I talked to so many people on the show and I thought, okay, actually, it could be great, you know, for them to have these donor siblings and know that this part of their genetics is there in the world. And if there's something we can know, why wouldn't we want to know it, right? So we made this private Facebook group. There's only two other families in it. I haven't found any other families. Then recently, I got a DM from one of the moms. And she was like, hey, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this. My kids know about it. That's why I feel okay sharing it. But not sure how to tell you this, but I actually know our donor personally. She said he was actually a friend of ours, so he's kind of a known donor to us. We just knew that he was also a sperm donor and we knew his number or something like that.
So they've known him forever?
I guess. Like, ever
it
since
it wasn't
the kids...
like my daughter turned 18 and now.
No, because our kids are all, like, our kids are the same age.
Young.
And my kids are 9 and 5. So, and then I sat with it for a little bit and I was like, oh my God. Okay. Oh my God. And then I was like, I have this, does this woman know I have a podcast? Is like, how much does she know about me? Like, what's
Yeah.
So I just wrote back.
Mind starts spinning.
Yeah, my mind just started going all over the
3
place.
3 a.m., waking up.
Yeah, so wow. I just wrote back like, hey, did you, just wondering, do you know I have a podcast about queer families? And she was like, I do. I'm a listener. I love it. Aww. And that's why I felt like wow. I could reach out. And she's very sweet. I'm not saying anything bad about this mother at all. Like,
correct.
Very
totally.
Sweet.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Very lovely. But I took forever to respond every time. So this is an explanation to you, Samantha. Like, because I was sitting with it, like, I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting this.
I
wasn't expecting
this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then I get another DM and she sent me a picture of him with her kid. And he's an adult, like him now. Oh, and I've only seen baby pictures.
You only get to see
the baby pictures of the donor. You don't get to see real human pictures of them. Yeah.
That is so bizarre.
Uh-huh. So I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now I know what he looks like. Now I have his picture. And she was like, and he said he's open to like being contacted if you want his email. No problem. And I'm like, I was not, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I was not, this was not, I'm not ready for this.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. If you're doing like an open egg donation and you're not going to meet the person, you're not going to know the person, like whatever, we always have to, our contract is states like we have to go through the agency
mm-hmm. in order to contact them.
Right.
Is that something that you also similar had to do bank. Like is there well, not to I don't want to get anybody in trouble but like no. is there something written that you have to go through the agency?
Yes, if it well if we were trying to make the contact, yes.
If you were trying to, okay,
but this woman just told me he's fine with me giving your email his email address if you want it. I sat down with Anne, we had a discussion about it, and she was like, oh no, I don't want to know this person. And I was like, I think we should probably.
Oh, really?
So then we agreed we'll talk to our daughter. Our 5-year-old is still a little young for like this extra piece of it, but like daughter could comprehend it, right? I said, you know what, because if I and I also am firmly of the mind that if I get any new information about this part of their DNA, it is my responsibility to tell them. If I know anything, I can't hold it in because then it's a secret later in life when they find out. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, why didn't you tell me? Right?
Yeah, that
I don't
want.
Right.
I was like, we have to be really open and upfront and present this in an age appropriate way. Right? Talk to her about it. We told her, we got an adult picture and you can see it if you want, you know? And she was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I showed it to her. She was like, oh my God. And she was like, and then I said like, and he said we can write him an email if we want to. Is that something you'd want to do? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, well, do you have any questions you'd want to know? And she asked me some like ridiculous question that I was like, maybe we should like think like a little more deeply about the questions we want to ask, you know? But like, so like, you know, that's but funny. Like, yeah. So I started the conversation and that's as far as we've gone with it. And
this is so new.
That's
it's
fantastic.
Like, and we're still sitting on it and we're still like taking so much time with it. And we're not like, we're waiting for her to bring, she did bring it up again. And she was like, are we going to write that email? And I was like, yes, we need to talk about those questions. But this is taking me forever to walk through.
What's the apprehension? Like, what is it? You know what I mean? Like, what spins in your brain about meeting the...
I don't want my kids to get confused about the relationship, right? I don't want my kids to meet this person and then
he will be in
now.
Their life.
Right. And he could be possibly, like, distantly in their life. I don't even know because I haven't spoken with him. But, like, I don't want any confusion. Like, it complicates things. My 5-year-old, my 5-year-old boy is a baby still. And if I were to tell him, this is your donor. Oh, that's my dad. No, that's your donor. No, that's my dad. You know what I mean? Like so I have to figure out age appropriate ways to explain it, but also make sure that I'm keeping this open and I'm keeping this honest.
Because I've always thought about that with ours. We're a little different. We're just like kind of like open from the start. We're just sort of like, and 30 feet up and dive into the ocean. And here we are. We're just going to jump in. I don't know how cold the water is, but here we are. Mm-hmm. But structuring it. Like, do we say this is your donor or is it not, it's not your donor mom, right? But it's
right.
Well, but it's I or have, is it your auntie? You know, like your like cute little like I don't know nickname well, or something.
Yeah, like you know? And what you decide is what it's going to be for your family.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And I've talked to like so many folks who've done surrogacy, and like some of them call like the belly mama. Or that's your belly mama, and that's
yeah.
Your
oh, yeah.
Mama.
Yeah, like egg mama. Because obviously we have two, right?
Right.
Or egg mama, belly mama.
Or not using the word mama, belly something. And like, yeah, you got to get, you get creative and you figure it out. But the, I mean, I think the key is to be open and honest from the start. Like they're going to figure it out soon enough that, uh-oh, totally. My dad's had help because I see how families are made it, are created, you know?
Right.
So, it's just, it can get complicated, right? As my story kind of shows. And I haven't, like, that whole story is not wrapped up yet, which is why I haven't talked about it. But I just did, so.
Wow.
I'm really happy that you're opening up and talking about it. And I'm excited to see, like, you know, what comes out of it.
I'm also, yeah, I'm super excited to see and maybe just, like, learn how that, how you, like, handle the situation, how your yeah. kids handle the situation. And if you learn like little nuggets to like help other people, right, who are going to eventually go through
yeah.
that.
I mean,
or if there's
so
anybody listening right now, maybe like who's that, gone through that, maybe.
Oh, that,
like,
please
just,
reach
like,
out. Because I was like, just going to say, it like down. It's so rare for something Let like this know. To happen in a closed donor situation, like from a bank. You know what I mean? Like it's yeah. so rare that you randomly find out the identity of the donor and the donor is like, yeah, email me. Like that's not...
Mm-hmm. Not,
that's not really how these things normal. Go.
So speaking of big changes and big things happening, we have a bit of an announcement now
Uh-oh.
To go over to Jamie's episode on Queer Family Podcast to listen
yeah.
to
yeah.
what's going on in our
big
lives
changes.
With surrogacy.
Big
yeah.
changes.
And what it's, we've decided to do.
Uh-oh. It's a journey.
Not uh-oh.
It's a journey.
We're learning constantly.
Mm-hmm.
We're rethinking constantly and we talk about it
yeah
so pop over there in like 90 seconds
yeah
whenever
go
we wrap this
now,
up
right now you gotta go listen to
give
the
it a
Queer
listen
Family
give
podcast.
It a follow
yeah
double rating double follows
yeah do all the things we should all be following both of these podcasts and be listening.
And Jamie, where can
weekly.
People find you?
Yeah,
so the Queer Family Podcast is available on all platforms, and we also have video episodes on our YouTube channel, which is YouTube
love
at the Queer Family Podcast. We're on all social. Well, we're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast. It's the whole name of the show.
And
you can go to queerfamilypodcast.com to see all the stuff we have. There's also a book that was based on the podcast that my,
oh my God,
previous
amazing.
Co-host and I wrote together called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. It's a very long title. I don't recommend titling a book that long in the future. If I have it to do again, I'm going to make
but
a much
everybody knows
shorter
exactly
title.
What it is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can always email me if you want to come on the show, or if you have questions or comments or anything, you can email me at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com. It's all there. So we're telling the stories, and we're uplifting, and we're normalizing, and we're celebrating, and it needs to happen.
Yeah,
because the world
agree.
Is just up.
and with that no, thank you so much for coming on. It's been amazing to hear your story, to get a bit of your knowledge into our brains, and yeah, and for confiding with all of us on some very big news that's
oh
happening in your life right now.
I can't believe I just shared all that. My wife's gonna be like, what the
that's
hell is wrong with you?
Incredible.
Anyway, thank you so much for having me. This has been
thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
That was so great having Jamie on here. I loved hearing her story about IVF, IUI, and this like unexplained infertility diagnosis that you can get trying to go through this.
Oh, it's like idiopathic. Like, we don't know what's going on. There's
yeah,
not like a
that was
specific
kind of insane
reason.
To me. Right.
Yeah.
But then like pay this bill. Let's try again for 3 years.
Oh my
gosh. 3 years. Do not forget to head over to Queer Family Podcast right now.
Right now.
And listen to our episode on there. You know, we've gone through lots of ups and downs on kind of our decision making through surrogacy and what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
trying to find a surrogate, all of that. And so This is just kind of like the next step there. I don't know. I don't want to say too much here. I don't want to give it away. You have to go over there and listen. So
yeah.
With that, thanks everyone for being here.
And until next time,
Daddy's out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.